Please be with all those that are struggling during this time of the year. Be with all those that may have had their plans changed due to the weather across the country. I ask you especially be with our military and emergency personnel as they are away from their families and keeping us safe today. We ask this in Jesus Christ in your holy name. Amen. Every year we celebrate Christmas and have a tree and give presents. It is important to think what the word Christmas means. Christ means Jesus Christ, our only Christ. Mass means to send in Latin. So Christmas literally means Christ was sent. We are going to find that Christ is the greatest gift we have ever received.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ.
This is the true Christmas story. The Word became human to live among us and to save us.
Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Though I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross, no, I'll never know how much it costs
am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore in Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God. Glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore in Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appear. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
God told us through his prophet Isaiah, who lived hundreds of years before Jesus was born, that someday a pure young woman who was not yet married and couldn't have a child yet would give birth to God's son. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him Emmanuel.
Seven 700 years later, a pure young woman named Mary became the mother of Jesus Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he looked on the humble state of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.
Your little baby, you've kissed
see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all? Mary, did you know your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleepy child you're holding is the great I am. The great I am. Mary, did you know?
Years before Jesus was born, God told us through Micah the prophet in the Old Testament that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And Luke in the New Testament tells us that 700 years later, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There was an order to go to your own birthplaces to be registered, an order made by Caesar. So Joseph left Nazareth, a town in Galilee. He went to Bethlehem in Judea. He registered with Mary because they were engaged to Mary. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth. God made this happen. God sent his son to earth for our sake.
But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of the brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. In those days, a decree was sent out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor in Syria. All went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn.
Joe.
Jesus grew up like everyone does, but he was not like everyone else. The Bible also tells, through his prophets, that when Jesus grew up, he began teaching of God. He also began to do miracles of healing of the sick, the deaf, and the blind. He is the God who came to live with us here on earth. God's prophet Isaiah tells us, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy."
The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight, and he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me."
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ our Savior was born upon this day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
The shepherd at those tidings rejoiced much in mind, and left their flocks a-fleeting in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway the blessed babe to find.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Oh,
tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
God told us through Isaiah the reason Jesus was born was to suffer and die for us so he could take the punishment for our sins. We now can be forgiven by God.
Who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth.
Matthew 27:27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and there gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the guarded seed, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man and men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenward Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing wings. Mild he lay his glory by, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
The Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let him their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love, and wonders.
wonders, wonders of his love.
Wonders, wonders of
his love.
God's prophets not only told us what was going to happen, but what God will do in the future. God tells us about the second coming of Christ. We will all see him, even those who killed him. All the people of the world will weep loudly because of him. If this does not make you want to celebrate Christmas, what could? Christmas is not about trees and stockings and gifts, but about the best gift ever given. The gift of God's Son, God himself, Jesus Christ, born fully man and fully God, who grew up here on earth. He suffered at our hands, died for our sins, so that we could all be forgiven for what we have done that is wrong, so we can live with him forever in heaven. Every time you open a gift this Christmas, think about Jesus and remember the gift of Jesus' life and what he did for us, what he did for you. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift we have ever received.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jesus. All the tinsels and lights, all the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas.
I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights, all the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, but it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in affliction and increase their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoiced when dividing the plunder. For as the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke of their burdens, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be burned, will be used for fuel of the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Peace of Prince. Of the greatness of his government, the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Well, good morning, church, and Merry Christmas. It's good to be with you. I drove up from southern LA to be with you. It's a land called San Diego, and it's an honor to be able to share God's word for a moment. Pastor Tony, thank you for sharing your pulpit with me. When Tony called me and asked me to do this, he told me to be considerate because he said it's Christmas morning, and he asked me to keep my sermon no longer than 2 hours. So I'm going to make sure I abide by that guideline so we can all be with our families. I do want us to think for just a minute about the miracle of this morning. And we had so much beautiful scripture and so much amazing worship already that I want to anchor us and sum it all up with Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. I'm going to read with a few observations, and then I have a couple thoughts that I'd like us to meditate on and take with us as we go home throughout the rest of this day. This is Luke chapter 2, the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own hometown. Back in the day, you didn't have census.gov, and you had to leave your home to go to your hometown and register. The registration didn't happen by the census taker coming to us. We had to go to them. And so Jesus was inside of Mary, and Joseph and Mary went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and lineage of David. So Jesus was in the line of the kings. He was born of a virgin, but he had the ancestry, humanly speaking, of David. So he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born, and there was no vacancy. When Meghan Markle and Prince Harry had their baby, the royal baby, it was all over the news, and had the two of them gone to a hotel that was booked, they would have bumped somebody. But instead, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the reigning king of the whole universe is born, and he ends up in a barn. He was willing to go through that for you and for me. He humbled himself and became nothing so that Christmas would be possible. In that same region, the kingdom of God was paying attention. The kingdom of this world missed it, but there were angels that appeared to shepherds. It says they were keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." There's 365 commandments to not be afraid in the Bible, one for every day. So when you see the wonder of Christmas and you see the pain and difficulty of your life, we're commanded with this story not to be afraid, because God is greater than the circumstances we find ourselves in, and he always has a plan that he's working. Even before we knew we needed a Savior, God had been prophesying and planning and preparing this from the very beginning. Right when Adam and Eve fell, Genesis 3:15, there was a prophecy about Jesus. There was going to be a descendant of David that was going to crush the head of the serpent. So at the very beginning, our sin problem had a solution. "For unto us is born this day in the city of David," the angel said, "a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Do you know if you go to ghheart.com, you can actually order the royal baby's embroidered cashmere cloth blanket if you want. It's $199. Shipping is free. But that's what the royal baby in Britain was wrapped in. And you could do that for your grandkids or your great-grandkids if you so desire. But Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, came wrapped in swaddling clothes, probably some rags Mary tore off from her own garment. And it was something so humble, yet it was the way of saving the world. The Good Shepherd was born in a barn.
to save us. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom his favor rests." That's the asterisk the Hallmark cards leaves out. Peace on earth. We've all seen that. We've all pulled that off the rack. But this says, on whom his favor rests, on whom he is pleased. We have to respond to the Prince of Peace and receive this gift in order for the peace of Christ to cover us. It's a universal invitation, but it's a specific response that's required of us. So the angels are saying, don't miss it this Christmas. A lot of people have missed Jesus, but don't be among them. Go and find the baby. So when the angels went away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They left everything to go find Jesus. I hope that's our heart this morning, that we're willing to leave behind all the other amazing parts of Christmas and hurry to the manger to find the Savior that we need so badly. So they went to Bethlehem, they believed the angels, and they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that they had heard concerning this child, and they worshiped him. So my question for us today is it possible to have just a little too much of Christmas? Could we celebrate it too often? And you might be saying, what's the guest preacher from the South coming to talk about today, if he's saying it's possible to celebrate Christmas too much? And I want to challenge us today that sometimes we've heard the story so many times that the awe and the wonder of that night and that morning starts to get common. And we start to recite things that should be shocking and awe-inspiring to us, and instead it just becomes normal. If we said things like, yes, I have a $1 billion check written out to me by name and God's good for it, we should leave that news and be rejoicing. We couldn't keep that to ourselves. We'd be posting that on social media. We'd be calling our friends. We'd be running and making ridiculous amounts of noise. And this gift that we're getting is far greater because it's our salvation. You might say, how's it possible to have too much Christmas? And I had some of Tony Wilcox's tri-tip last night, and even the after burps were smoky and delicious. It's kind of a personal thing. But you might ask, why? How's it possible to have too much of that? And the feeling that comes from having your kids wake you up in the morning and shake you and say, come on, we got to do gifts. And we say, it's only 6 a.m. Go back to sleep for another couple hours. They're excited about that gift. And I think that joy is meant to transfer us to receive the ultimate gift of Jesus at Christmas. Are we able to see the wonder of the manger? That God in heaven, who created all the stars, who made the universe, humbled himself, left the palace, and became a baby. He had to go that route to save us. If you decided to invent a story to save the world, would you do it that way? Wouldn't you announce it broadly with all the kings and the media and all the stuff that's really common for us? Instead, Jesus was hidden in a manger for those that had the heart to go and receive him. He had to enter into our pain and our loneliness. He had to encounter the brokenness and stench of humanity. He was willing to go there. Donkeys and goats and cows and horses don't smell good. Barns don't have central heating. Mary didn't have any other nurses to deliver this baby. There was no epidural. When Jesus came out, he was fully human, fully God, fully man in one package, and I think he does cry on Christmas morning. Isn't that interesting? Every baby that comes into the world, we spank them and make sure they cry, and if they don't cry, we think something's wrong with them. They're really not going to fit in around here. There's so much pain on earth that if a baby doesn't cry, they're not going to really make it. They won't feel at home. Jesus entered into our pain, and he was willing to cry the tears that were caused by sin and death because he was the solution to sin and death. He had to be born this way because he had to encounter all of our pain and loneliness. He had to go out in the cold and accept rejection so that he could win us back. He entered into our pain, but he took our pain away. When the wise men came, and spoiler alert, most manger scenes require an asterisk because the magi show up 2 years after Jesus is born. The Bible says the star landed over a house and the child was there. And this magi group of kings from the east show up. This would be like a motorcade of SUVs coming up. Wah, wah, wah. And Mary's in a normal house and these guys with entourages come in and fall down at this baby's face and start worshiping. And they bring gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is for kings. Frankincense and myrrh is a homeopathic remedy that takes away our pain. Isn't that interesting? This baby's going to take the pain of the world that was exhibited in that manger onto himself, and he's going to be the Savior. Pain has to go somewhere. It goes on to Jesus. And he becomes that sacrifice for our sins. He was the only perfect sacrifice. He was born of a virgin miraculously because he had to not inherit the sin of his father. He was in the line of David, but he had no sin from David. He was a king, but he was the perfect one. The only baby on earth to ever be born without the threat of dying. Think about that. We talk about how Jesus gave up his life on the cross, but he did not die of natural causes. He didn't die because of sin and death. If he didn't just give away his life, he would have been going on forever and ever. Think about that. Jesus says, nobody takes my life from me. I give it up freely. And Jesus says that when he was in front of Herod and he was in front of all the religious rulers who were crucifying him and the Roman soldiers, he said that, don't you think I could call a whole host of angels? Right now, he says, I could call six legions of angels right now. He said there were so many angels that all he would have had to do was say, boys, handle this. One legion of angels is 6,000 soldiers. And so he actually said he was willing to call down 12 if he needed to. That's 72,000 angels. In 2 Kings, we find out that one angel can take out 185,000 Assyrian troops in one day. Angels are terrifying. Angels are mighty warriors. The reason the shepherds were fearful because mighty warriors stood in front of them. Jesus could have had the entire earth's population plus 3 billion wiped out in one day with that many angels if you do the math. 72,000 times 185,000. You can fact check me later. But Jesus didn't have his life stolen from him. He grew up to give his life away. He laid down his life for us. He could have looked at the Romans who were whipping him, and he could have said, I uncreate you. And they would have just disappeared because he made us all. Little baby Jesus grows up to rule and to reign. And he's coming back one day. This Advent period that we're waiting through now gets us ready for Jesus who is to come again. And when he comes again, he won't be hidden in a manger. He won't be missed by the world. That time says that every tongue will confess that he's Lord. Every knee will bow. So we're going to bow now voluntarily on Christmas morning, or one day we'll bow because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back. If you read Revelation, Jesus isn't a timid baby anymore. He's riding on a horse with a sword out of his mouth, with King of Kings and Lord of Lords emblazoned on his thigh. Everybody's going to bow down. But he chose to come humbly because he wanted us to dare to seek him. He wanted us to know we needed a Savior. This is a humbling story for us. We have to admit that there's a gift that we can't afford to pay for. Back when I was in college, I cleaned houses for a little bit of part-time income. And I found some wealthy families along the main line of Philadelphia, and I would go in and scrub their bathroom floors and clean their toilets. I would water their plants, and I haven't told my wife about this complete skill set, so if we can keep this to ourselves, I'd appreciate it. But one day, I remember talking to this family that was very well off, and I said, I was studying sociology, and so I was embedded in economic theories in college, and I said, could I just do you a favor for one day? Could I clean your house today for free? And she looks back at me, her smile turned to a scowl, and it was almost like I had confessed that I enjoy harming puppies in my spare time. And she looked at me and she said, "This is not setting us back. How dare you insinuate that we can't afford this? I insist on paying you to clean my house." That's the way all of us want to go in the American culture, and I think in all human nations, we want to be able to earn our way back to God. But this Christmas story says we've got to admit that on our own we're cold, on our own we're broken, on our own it smells bad. And we need someone to enter into that mess and understand us, but not just understand us and keep us there. We need someone who can take us to where he's going. Jesus started in a barn, but he's going to reign in a palace. And if you meet him in the cold, he'll take you to a community. That's the beauty of this Christmas story. It requires us to believe in miracles. Think about that for just a second. Mary heard the angel, and she was told she'd be the only virgin birth in human history. Can you imagine going through the neighborhood, and she's pregnant, and she's not married, and everybody knows that? And she says, "Oh, well, you don't understand. I'm the only human ever to have a virgin birth." Yeah, right, Mary. Some people that didn't believe in Jesus called him a bastard afterwards. They refused to believe him because they pointed back to that story. But Mary said in her heart, "How can this be?" But she said, "How will this be?" She believed it was going to happen. When Zechariah heard about the birth of John the Baptist, his response was different. He said, "How can this happen? Because I'm old. My wife's advanced in years. We're probably both finishing our dentures at the end of the day. How are we going to have kids?" And this was a miracle birth both times. Zechariah wasn't able to believe until it happened. But Mary believed as soon as she heard the word of God. So my heart for all of us this morning is when we hear the word of God and talk about the miracle of Christmas, that we can all say, "I want to be the one who believes. May God do mighty things through me. I want to be able to say with confidence, nothing is impossible with God. I want to receive this gift because I know there's no other way to be back with Christ again." Imagine for just a second if all the manger scenes disappeared right now. There's three in front of my church back in San Diego. What if they all just evaporated? All the Christmas trees went away, and we didn't have a Savior. We would have zero hope. We would be born to die. Jesus Christ came to earth, the only perfect baby, untainted by sin and death. The only reason he died is because he gave his life away on purpose, knowing it was temporary because he was going to get back up again. And he's now the firstborn of a new breed of human, untainted by sin. The Bible says he's the firstborn of many brothers and sisters who are able to have credit for eternal life. That's the most amazing gift. That should help us leave rejoicing. And like the shepherds, we hurry to Jesus to meet him at the manger. If you have stuff going on in your life right now and you think it's hopeless, that God couldn't forgive me or God's forgotten me or there's not really any real big picture or purpose in my life, this is your moment to say, nothing is impossible with God. No place is too cold for the angels to come. No place is too messy for God to redeem. No place is too broken for Jesus to put it back together. Do you believe that? Gabriel said, "I speak as one who stands in the presence of God." The very words of God always come true. He said, "Let there be light." Boom! The universe was born. All the prophecies of Jesus came true. His coming again is coming true. Will Ferrell was in a movie called Talladega Nights, and he liked to pray to baby Jesus before dinner. "Dear sweet baby," I don't endorse Will Ferrell in all his movies, but this is a funny scene that has some sermon value. "Dear sweet baby Jesus" is all he liked to pray. "Give us this day, our dear sweet baby Jesus. Thank you for this food, dear sweet baby Jesus. Help me win this race." It's easy to pray to baby Jesus, but baby Jesus grows up. And the kings of the East recognize him at 2 years old. At 30, he starts his public ministry, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving food to the hungry, forgiving sins, reuniting outcasts. And then he's coming back again to rule and reign. He won't ever be in a manger again. This is our only opportunity to meet him in the humble place where we can receive him with all freedom. I want to encourage you, invite you, and challenge you this Christmas morning. If you have never received the gift of Jesus, this is an incredible moment for you to meet Christ at the manger. To say like the shepherds, I'm going to leave everything and find this treasure. I'm going to forsake all else and hurry to the place where the gift of Jesus can be unwrapped. He's in swaddling clothes, and those who believe the word of God will find him. I'd like to pray together with you, if I could, as we end this sermon this morning. If you are comfortable closing your eyes and bowing your heads, if you this morning have lost the wonder of Christmas, if it's so common that we talk about it without it shaking us, without us running to tell others, without us getting so wrapped up in Jesus that we forget everything else and we leave it behind to come to Jesus, I want to invite you to ask Jesus again to give you a renewed sense of awe and wonder for Christmas. And if you've never accepted Christ, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, this is a wonderful moment to do that. I'm going to pray a prayer with you, and you can pray this in the privacy of your own heart. But this is an opportunity to say, I don't want to leave the King of Kings and Lord of Lords unnoticed in my life. I want to go after him, and I want to invite him into all those places that are cold and dark and lonely and scary. I might even be ashamed to show him what's going on inside the barn of my life. But I let you in, Jesus. I trust you. Thank you that there's nothing that I can show you that will surprise you. There's nothing that I can show you that you can't forgive. And we don't have to stay in the barn. We can follow you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're going to reign forever. Your kingdom knows no end. And we choose to bow now out of choice before we have to bow out of force. So God, accept me and forgive me. Let me experience Jesus, the true gift of Christmas. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of faith. If you're already a believer and you leave today with more awe and wonder and more boldness to go share about this great gift, I'm excited to celebrate Jesus with you. May we all respond like Mary and say, I believe that nothing is impossible with God. If he said it, it's easy for him to do. Amen? Amen. God bless you all. Have a Merry Christmas.
So I would love to invite any of the kids that would like to come up and join Michaela up on the stage here. We're going to close with Silent Night, and I would like you all to stand, please.
Come on, kids.
Come on up, kids.
Come on, Lewis.
Come on. You can do it. Come on, let's go. All the kids, come on. Yeah.
Kids for 1 minute.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. The Savior is born. us, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleeping heavenly peace, sleeping heavenly peace.
Merry Christmas.
Love to thank everybody that took part in this morning. Without you, it would have been a very short program. Thank you, every one of you, and thank you for being here. What a great way to celebrate Christmas.